I'd like you to get your Bible if it's convenient and read with me. We're going to go as far as we can in each of these studies, and I hope that you'll follow with us regularly on this station and hear what the Lord has for us in this wonderful book of Romans. This has been called the Gospel for Believers, but many, many people have become believers through reading this book and through hearing it preached. Preeminently, the book of Romans has to do with the gospel. The very first chapter introduces the gospel, tells us that it's about the Lord Jesus, that it came from God himself, and that it is all-powerful in the lives of those who permit the gospel to come into their lives, those who are willing to believe the gospel. Now, the book of Romans is divided up into three sections. It may be divided in many ways. As you study it, you may find other outlines you like better. I got this one from a book by Mr. W. E. Vine. He says that if we divide the book of Romans into three parts under these headings, we'll understand it pretty well, and I believe that's right. Light, love, and life. The first part of the book introduces God as light. You remember John in his first epistle says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That means that he is absolutely righteous. And this book justifies the ways of God with men, shows that a righteous God can still save and bless unrighteous people. So we have light, and then we have his love in his deliverance from the guilt of sin, first of all. This carries us through to the 11th verse of chapter 5, and then deliverance from the power of sin in our lives, his love. And then the last part of the book gives us life, the product of this wonderful gospel. Now, in the very beginning of this book, he tells us about the gospel. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is the first of seven times that he mentions the Holy Scriptures in the book of Romans, meaning, of course, the Old Testament Scriptures, which prophesied that the Lord Jesus was going to come. So this is the promise of the gospel. Then the person of the gospel is introduced to us. It's said to be concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, or born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So this is the person preached in the gospel. Now, there is no good news in the Bible about you and me. All the news about us is bad news. But the good news, and that's the meaning of the word gospel, is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have the preaching of the gospel. In verses 4 and 5, he was declared, and by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. So he wants this gospel to go out to all. And then you have the product of the gospel. If you like alliterations, these all begin with the letter P. The promise, the person, the preaching, and the product of the gospel. Now, the promise is given in the Old Testament. The person is introduced and is the special theme of the four gospels. The preaching is recorded in the Acts, and the product is presented in the rest of the New Testament. Now, the Lord Jesus came into this world not to be our teacher, though he is a great teacher, not to be our example, though he is a great example, but he himself said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ died for our sins. The reason for the coming of the Savior is that he might redeem us, that he might buy us back, that he might liberate us that he might bring us to himself. And the good news of the gospel is this story. Somebody has said that the gospel is not a work to do, but a word to believe about a work that has been done. You like that? Let me say it again. The gospel is not a work to do, but a word to believe about a work that is done. And when our Savior came into this world, he said that he came to do the work and the will of his Father. He came to finish his work, he said in John 4. And when the Savior died on the cross, he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." So in this first chapter of Romans, the gospel is presented. The gospel of the Son of God. Now Paul says in verse 14, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians," that is, to the educated and the uneducated, to the cultured and the uncultured, both to the wise and to the unwise. I am a debtor. He owed a debt. So does every Christian. I owe a debt, too. I'd like to pay that debt just now to you. I'd like to pass on to you the gospel which has come to me and which has meant so much to me. I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior in 1911, and I've been thanking him every day since for the gospel, for the wonderful good news that brought hope and blessing and everlasting life into my life. Verse 15 says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." So he not only had a debt to pay, but he was ready to pay that debt. And verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now this is the second time that he mentions power in this chapter. In verse 4, the Lord Jesus was declared or proven to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. His resurrection proved him to be the Son of God. The same power that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, God will raise you from the dead, too. I don't mean at some future time, I mean immediately. Because we're told in the second chapter of Ephesians that we, in our natural state, are dead to God, dead in trespasses and sins. You may have religion. You may have a lot of nice things about you, but unless you have been born from above, unless you have received eternal life, you are still dead to God. Now the Lord tells us here that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." So the principle of faith is the means of the righteousness of God coming to us. In other words, we do not become righteous by doing righteous things. We become righteous by trusting the Lord Jesus. And God counts us righteous. He makes us right. And then we can live righteously because he has made us right. Does that sound confusing? Well, my grandfather said that for 60 years, he tried hard to make himself a Christian. And in his own way, he said, "I got the cart before the horse." Are you getting the cart before the horse? Are you trying to be righteous so that God will count you righteous? Well, God's way is that when you receive the gospel, when you receive the Savior and believe the wonderful story that Christ died in our place and raised again from the dead, then God will count you righteous. Now the rest of chapter 1 of Romans explains to us why the gospel needed to come. It tells us that there are many people in the world today whose lives are ungodly. Some people hesitate to read the first chapter of Romans in public because it tells so many wicked things that people do. Three times in this chapter it says that God gave them up. And this explains the condition of what we call the heathen in the world today. God gave them up to uncleanness. In verse 24, physically. In verse 26, God gave them up to vile affections. This was their souls. And in verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. This was their spiritual condition. So physically, and in their souls and in their spirits, God gave them up to live as they chose to live. It was not his idea. But it says that they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Nobody was created dark, but God gave them up because they preferred the darkness to the light. Our Savior told us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And this terrible record of their being filled with all unrighteousness, and not only doing the wicked things, but the last verse reaches the climax in saying that they even have pleasure in others who do them. This is the condition of people who refuse the gospel. I hope you will receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, or if you have received him, I hope that you'll join me now in thanking God that the Lord Jesus Christ brought to us the wonderful gospel. Our Father, we are thankful to thee for thy Son, our Savior. We thank thee for what he suffered on the cross in our place. We thank thee that eternal life is offered now as a free gift, and we pray thee to bless thy word to us in our Savior's name. Amen.